Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. We know that God has a word for you, and this is indeed a time that we need to be on our faces crying out before God, asking Him His design, His purpose, His plan, His will for our life, because brothers and sisters, time is short. We got so much to do, and we don't have a lot of time to lollygag, as my father used to say. Can't be out here lollygagging and gay pop and thinking you just got tomorrow. Amen. We're in prayer for the Sherman family. Amen. Suddenly their son of 29 years died last night, and he was in church on Sunday playing the drums and worshiping. Didn't feel well, but, you know, he went to the doctors, and they within 5 hours of him getting to the hospital, he had passed. They said it was the H1N1 virus. Mm. But, you know, I think that the bigger story here is that when you're young, you think about your tomorrow and how long you got. But the reality is that God has your time in His hands. So you have to be about His business, because those of us who are well past 29, you know, we don't have that many more days ahead of us. Amen. And we can't take it for granted that God has given us this long. Now's the time to get up to task. Now it's time to get up to your assignment, and now it's the time to be obedient to what God has called you to. Amen. So we want to keep them in family in prayer. We also want to keep the Gilliam family in prayer as Deacon Gilliam is recovering, amen, from his surgery. Those others that we know of and don't know of, we're praying for all of them as well. That God would do a work in their life. And we're asking God to help us, even as we go forward, to give us direction and give us clarity. I don't know about you, but I don't have time to be making no mistakes, because my flesh was in the way. We got to get it together and hear what God is saying, and then step with confidence and step with purpose towards the things that God has called us to. Mm-hmm. As we go forward, I'm going to ask Prophetess Crystal to go ahead and give us our announcements, and then lead us into our prayer, and then we're getting into this word tonight. Amen. Prophetess Crystal.
Amen. God bless you, everybody. Once again, welcome to our broadcast, Kingdom Lifestyles. We are excited that you are here with us this evening, and we count it as a privilege that you have taken time out of your life, amen, to join us here to hear what thus saith the Lord. Amen. just want to go quickly into the announcements as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear every broadcast we have live at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. As you're there at our website, we just ask and pray, amen, that you would take time to learn about us, learn about the ministry, amen. If any of you would like any additional information, please go to our contact page, whether it's prayer, whether it's ministerial engagements, amen, whether it's just learning about us in general, the church, the ministries that we cover. Everything you need is right there on that page. Amen. Amen. Also, we ask that you would go to our Facebook page. Just like us there. Amen. Leave your praise reports. We want to know what God is saying to you, how God is dealing with you. Amen. We just want to know what's going on in your life. Amen. That's under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Or you can find us under WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny. And that is our Facebook page. Those are the announcements for, amen, this evening, people of God. Let us go right into prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. God, we bless your name. We bless you. We bless your name, God. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your people, God. God, we come before you, humbling ourselves. We lay dormant before you, God. We lay open before you, God. God, search us, God. We want you, and that's all. We want you and all of you. Whatever you have for our lives, God, we say yes. We say yes. We say yes, God. We say yes to your will. We say yes to your way. We shall walk in obedience, God. We want all of you. We want our ears close to your lips to hear your voice. We want to stay in your lap, God. Anything, how you move, we want to move. You said in your word that your food is to do the will of the one who sent you and to complete his work. God, let that be your people's motto on today, God. Let obedience be our portion, Father. In the name of Jesus, God, we cry out, Abba, on tonight. We want the fire. We want the anointing. We want the glory, God, to just rest, rule, and abide in us and around us. God, we want to be change agents in this earth. In the name of Jesus, we're tired of what is as usual, and we want the power. We want the glory of God. Father, your people are dying daily, seeking for a right now prophetic word, seeking for change, seeking, and you've called us, God, to be the answer to their prayers. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we open our minds and our hearts before you tonight. Speak, oh God. Speak orally, oh God, tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, shift tonight. Shift, change, shake. Put us on the street called straight. God, change our directions tonight in Jesus' name. Give us the boldness to go forth this year, 2014. God, give us the boldness to stand up on the mountaintop and say, thus saith the Lord. Make us fearless, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, even now, as your people that you have ordained in this hour to go forth, let them not be deterred this year. Let them not take back this year. Let them not fall back this year. Let them not lose focus this year. God, we must manifest your glory in the earth. We must manifest your power in the earth. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Oh, God, raise up those intercessors and those prayer warriors. Get the prayer wheels turning on the inside in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, put our hands, strike our hands with fire. Father, as we lay hands on the sick, we shall see them recover. Father, as we lay hands on those that are dead, we shall see them raise. We shall cast out devils in your name, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we cry out to you, holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah. Even now, Father, I ask that you would crown the apostle's head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as he moves forth tonight in your word, in your power, in the anointing. Give him revelation. Give him wisdom as he speaks forth your word on tonight. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing. We thank you for what you've already done. We thank you for this next move, this next dimension you, in Jesus' name. We praise you. 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 I praise you. I glorify you. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
And amen and amen. Thank God for that prayer. Listen, you have to understand that we're in a fast right now and just coming from prayer. Amen. We're still wound up. Amen. And we know that God is speaking in our lives and God is speaking to us. Now, if you can take some time and simply ask God to open up your understanding, open up your mind, amen, and you can see what God is saying, and you can focus your heart and your mind on the things of God, and God will bless you greatly, amen, and amen. Listen, tonight we want to go into something that the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit. Last night, as we were in prayer, we were finishing, and he began to speak to me about this. And as I began to look at it, he began to share with me some things that we need to look at and understand. If we, if you will, grab your Bibles and go to Philippians 4 and 6. Just two verses here. We want to walk down through them and see what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Into his body, amen, because the day and the time is at hand where we have to be focused on our assignments and move forward concerning what God has called us to do, amen. Philippians 4 and 6. As you are reading it and getting it, we're going to look at this from a few different places, and we want to see clearly what is being said here. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, the thing that we have to understand here is that in this day and this time, we see so many people who are going through life simply frustrated. They're frustrated for a number of different reasons. The frustrations come from problems that they have in their life, things that are going on, things that are beyond their control, things that they would love to do and take care of, but yet and still the resources are not there for them to even address it. So they're going through life dealing with situations, if you will, that will cause common people to just give up and walk away. Yet and still, they stay connected to it and try to push through it. And because the progress isn't as fast or as progressive as they want, they become frustrated. They begin to become anxious. Anxiety is characterized by extreme uneasiness of mind or a brooding fear of some contingency. It is something that is there that causes you to think about it incessantly. May not even be something to worry about. Yet and still, you find yourself focused on it. And that is the trick of the enemy. Because your focus in every aspect of your life should be on Christ. And I'm going to say this because it is one of those things that we have looked at and understood, and we know the politically correct answer to this is when we say, where's your mind? You say it's on Jesus. But the reality is when I ask, where's your mind at? It could be any place but there. The enemy has had, through the annals of time, he's had opportunity to study human behavior and characteristics. And he is a master at distraction. That means that he knows how to place something in your peripheral vision that will cause you to get off focus without shifting your head. Amen. He knows how to put something just outside of your eyesight, just around your axis, if you will, that causes you to know something is there, even though you can't perceive it. It is that contingency that causes us then to become anxious. God begins to speak to us about things that we need to do, places we need to go, situations and circumstances that we need to address and overcome. And I said it before, we become masters of speaking the problem when God gave us the authority in his name, amen, in the name of Jesus, to speak the resolution. So we begin to speak the problems out. People say, what's going on with you? And we begin to, in our anxiety, spew out all the problems. So now God can't get the glory out of your response because you did not identify him or his character with your response. You begin to speak as the enemy would speak. He showed you the problem so you could magnify it over God instead of you being a child of God, seeing the problem and magnifying God over the problem. So what we have to do, and I shared this yesterday with those who were in attendance, you have to get to a place where you begin to celebrate God over the problem. Don't tell everybody about your problem. Tell everybody who knows your problem about your God. And it is in that instant that you begin to feel and fulfill the call of God in your life. See, this right here, when we begin to look at the scripture, he tells us, the Apostle Paul begins to say, be anxious for nothing. That means that there are some things in your life that's going to come up, that's going to challenge you. But yet and still, in all things, you have to have Romans 8:28 in your spirit at all times. And we know that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose. Notice that word his is capitalized because it's not your purpose. It's the purpose of God that he created you to fulfill. And when you are focused on him, there's nothing that the enemy can do that can shift your focus or get you off point. When God is for you, as we go down into Romans 8, we see if God is for us, who can be against us? No one. Because we know in whom we believe. We know in whom we trust. So the anxiety then is the enemy trying to keep you from extending your faith beyond your borders and into the spiritual realm. Amen. Those things that are already done in heaven that be manifest, that need to be manifest in earth, will take your faith that goes beyond sight. And I heard somebody say it, and I picked it up, and I like it. Amen. And I'm going to use it. It says the opposite of faith is sight. Some people can't believe because they can't see it. But if you see it, you don't need faith for it. And what you're doing today and the way that you're walking today is going to demand that you have faith beyond sight. So then what does faith beyond sight do?
Faith beyond sight means when you look at the situation, when you count up the cost, when you look at your bank account, when you take into consideration your credit rating, when you take into consideration the resources to do the job, and you find that there's deficiencies all around. Beyond you, there is God, and God knows how to build you up and sustain you. He knows how to release the resources. You have to understand there's what you desire to do, and then there's what God desires for you to do. And whatever God desires for you to do, he's already given you the provisions, the resources, the finances, the personnel, the capacity to do it. God never gives you something for you to fail. So if God is behind it, you are already guaranteed success. It is where we can't see the way to success that anxiety resides. So we have to learn how to then not be anxious for anything. Well, if I'm not going to be anxious for anything, then there has to be a way for me to dispel that anxiety. How do I get rid of this anxiousness? How do I get rid of this anxiety? Here you are. God is telling you to go out and witness the word, and you simply have to trust in the Lord. Let me tell you, I was witnessing to someone. Let me back up. I was speaking to them, just having a conversation. They were going through something in their life, and the Holy Spirit said, you know, just witness a word to them. Just share Jesus with them. And this conversation had nothing to do with Christianity. It was not a theological debate or a concern. There was nothing there. It was just a conversation, and they were dealing with something. And in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit told me what to say. I obeyed him, and the person began to then share that they had been praying and asking God what's going on and which way I should go. And when I came and spoke to them, it brought clarity to the situation, but it also gave them direction. See, there are things that the Holy Spirit speaks to us and tells us to do, and we're trying to figure out, if I go over there and say this, they don't know me from Adam. What are they going to do? Don't worry about that. The Bible says that one plants many water, but God gives the increase. You don't know where in the process that word you're giving is. Amen? So obviously there was something planted there that the Holy Spirit had sent different ones around to water. And at the fulfillment of the task, the assignment, we see an increase into the kingdom. Amen? So my job then is not to figure out what I'm going to do here, but simply to do what he's telling me to do. If I had not spoken to that person, they would still be looking for the answer. And past the answer, which is Christ, they'll run into somebody else with a self-help remedy or resolution to the problem, and they'll miss kingdom assignment. You see that? Because we try to think and outthink God. You need to let God be God, and you be you. And if God is God and he gives you directive, follow the directive. Amen? So the anxiety then can be taken care of simply by following the direction of God. Well, how do I follow the direction of God? In everyone's life, there's a plan. Amen? So you have to understand what the plan is. Amen? And before I get too far ahead of myself, I just want to drop these few things on you, amen? When God speaks to you, God already has designed a way to alleviate your anxiety. What he does is he's already placed there an assignment, amen? What are you talking about? Jesus is going through his passion, and at the place where he's carrying his cross, he gets to a place where he falls. And the Roman soldiers pull Simon out of the crowd and give him the cross to bear. But Jesus still has to march to Golgotha. And sometimes you're carrying some stuff and it becomes a little heavy for you. When God gives you somebody who's going to help you in the situation, it's not for them to get on the cross. You still got to walk the walk. But he'll give you somebody who will help you with the task. Amen? Look what it says here. Because we understand that sometimes it may not be an assignment out there. Amen? Sometimes it might be the Holy Spirit who gives you that relief. Amen? And it causes you to have a relief. Amen? About a situation. Amen? We know that he's going to take care of us. Psalms, 55:22. Excuse me. Amen. It says, cast your burdens on the Lord. Where? On the Lord. Not your best friend. Not your bae. Excuse me. Not your boo. But cast your cares on the Lord. Why? Because he has the ability to deal with whatever it is that you're dealing with. You have to understand that in the plan of God, amen, according to Ephesians, the first chapter, we were chosen before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in him, amen. We were given every spiritual blessing, amen. Stop running trying to find a blessing. Every spiritual blessing that you ever will need has already been given to you. Your problem is you're not mature enough to receive it. So as you mature up in God, then you'll find that there are different things and greater things that are released into your hand. Amen. God can't give it to you because you won't properly utilize it. You'll misappropriate the blessing. So what God does is instead of giving it to you, he waits for you to mature. That's why when we go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we see that one of the tasks that we have as apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, amen, one of the tasks we have is to mature the body. See, that we no more be children tossed to and fro, because if God gives you the wealth of the kingdom and you go out and misappropriate it, you just show the world that God doesn't mean everything and it's about you. And that's the problem that we have with prosperity theology. It tells you that you can be as rich and as opulent as you want, and that glorifies God. But the truth of the matter is God never told you to live an opulent lifestyle. Amen. He talks about that. He says, listen, in this life, if you're going to live righteous, if you're going to live a godly life, you will suffer temptation. You will suffer trials. Amen. You will go through some things. Persecutions are going to come. I don't know what this gospel is to preach in nowadays where you don't have to change your life. God will change everything for you, give you everything on your wish list, but you never have to ask him for forgiveness. All this hyper grace and all this prosperity and all the rest of this is a life of the pit of hell. And I'm going to tell you something. Those who are preaching this gospel will have to give an account for the souls that they led away from the cross back into their selfish ambitions. So you thought that your offerings were coming in greater because you were preaching something that was dynamic. You searched to find something that would bring the crowds in, put butts in seats, if you will. And what you found is a false theology. Amen. You found not things that mix gospel or the gospel of Jesus Christ with other things, and you begin to preach those things. And as people came in, because it was a watered down gospel, you saw increase in your finances, and you said, Lord, this is the blessing. No, this is the curse, because you changed the gospel, amen, for things that mirror living things and those things that are worship the creation instead of the creator. You're cursed with a curse. Devil wants you to think that you hit it now. He wants you to think that you finally made it. Oh, we going up now. We about to do some stuff. No, you're about to bust hell wide open. And we don't preach like this enough. People are walking around thinking because they were able to get a Mercedes, able to get a car, able to get this or that, that God is pleased with them. Brothers and sisters, you won't go to heaven or hell because of the car you drive. You won't go to heaven or hell because of where you live. Your bank account will not come into weigh or balance when we're looking at your soul. When God begins to deal with you, he's going to deal with the fact that you did or did not do what he called you to do. You did or you did not accept his son. You did or you did not lead others to Christ. What you're going to have to deal with is your works, which are dealing with your assignment. And if you did not do your assignment because it did not fit your perceived greatness in your eyes, then you're going to have to ask God for forgiveness before you get before the judgment seat. They're not preaching this anymore. They're not preaching the wages of sin is death. They're not preaching holiness anymore. It's not about righteousness anymore. It's let me get all I can get. Let me can all I can get. And they're running off with that thinking they're blessed of the Lord. You're wearing big chains and big rings and everything else. You're putting titles on top of titles on your name. Amen. Who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? Who's going to be the number one, the premier one? I'm still waiting to see where the apostolic pope is coming from. Amen. Because we become chief apostles and chief this and ambassadors of. And listen, he called apostles, prophets, huh? Evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's the fivefold. Amen. That's the five strand cord. Amen. Now, when you get beyond that, you're trying to make yourself bigger in your eyes, in men's eyes. But if you're not doing the assignment God called you to do, it doesn't matter. Amen. I can make myself anything I want to be. But after all is said and done, I have to answer God concerning what he called me. So now, we have to look at all of this. Amen. I can't do nothing for you except God tells me. And that means that when your burdens and your problems are going on in your life, you need to know that there is a connect in you. Amen. That you can tap into for your answer. Amen. Thank God for men and women of God. We're going to preach the gospel to you. But you got to learn how to get this for yourself. Let every man work out his own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. I got to do it. You got to do it too. Amen. Look at this right here. It says, cast your burdens on the Lord and he shall sustain you. Who's going to do it? He shall. For all of you throwing money at these different people's feet, it looked good. It looked like it was righteous and holy. But you got to understand something. Every idol demands a sacrifice. Let that sit there for a minute. Woo, I thought I was just, I'm trying to get a blessing. Stop trying to run after a blessing. The blessing that you're going to get that's going to bless your life is the blessing of obedience. When you're obedient to God, God will make sure that you never lack, because the first thing he told the children of Israel is if you keep my commandments, huh? If you follow these commandments. See, the blessings of the Lord make us rich and he adds no sorrow to it. Stop trying to go out and prophesy these self-fulfilling prophecies that are balanced on your bank account. Oh, the Lord told me I'm about to get a new car. He blah, 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 blah. There you go, and you already know that you have priced the car, you have checked your credit rating, you have been saving up for the down payment and everything else, and you pull up in the car and say, ooh, look what God did. No, that was just good planning and business, amen? You know it's the Lord when you didn't have the money, when your credit rating said no, and you still got the car, and God paid it off for you, amen? That's the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord make us rich, and he has no sorrow to it, says that God will give you witty inventions to make you rich without adding the stress that your personal thoughts and everything else have to come up with. See, we've been trying to do this, and that's sustaining, and he shall sustain you. He has to come from us, because we've been preaching to ourselves and getting ourselves all hopped up and then running out and doing all this concerning us. And God ain't never validated not the first, the second, or the last move. Let's get back to what God called us to do. Your assignment is waiting. And those who are tied to your assignment, those who are on your street, those doors you need to be knocking on, only your hand can knock on them, because only your voice has validation in their ears. I'm trying to find a bigger audience. I'm trying to get to the masses. Stop getting to the masses. Get to the ones around you. They'll provide the platform that you need in order to go to the masses. You have no foundation. You can be out here in la-la land, nothing to push off on and nothing to sustain you. God didn't call us to that. No master island. We need the Lord. And forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That means you need to be around the brethren. You need to be around the body of Christ. Amen. And when you're around it, then it brings you back, keeps you balanced. Amen. So we're not running out here crazy. We're talking about anxiety. How do we get anxious? We start trying to figure it out ourselves. Thank God you got a think tank. Thank God you got people who can sit down with wonderful ideals. But before y'all sit down and share any of that stuff, seek the face of God. See, thank you, Holy Spirit. We're going to go in a second over to Genesis, the third chapter, because I need y'all to see something. And it's very clear that the devil has not changed anything in the way that he does it. And he don't have to change it. It has worked. Amen. It's still working. Amen. So if it works, why change it? Satan ain't changed nothing. That's why we can say there's nothing new under the sun. The same thing that tricked me will trick my son. And that's the same thing that tricked my father and my grandfather. Amen? Huh? Y'all think that this is new because you see it. No, no, this is old. It's just a new person doing it. Amen? Let's finish this scripture. Psalms 55:22, cast your burdens on the Lord and he shall sustain you. That means he'll keep you. He'll bear you up. His vision, his provision, amen, huh? His call, his resources, he's going to take care of it, amen? He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. That means that when you are steadfast and steady in the place that God called you, the safest places in the will of God, when you are there, nothing, and I do mean nothing, can shake you or move you. The safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God. The Bible lets us know in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in the secret of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? The enemy sends shots out trying to see where you are, but he can't find you because when God hides you and covers you, you are invisible to anything that the devil has. Anxiety causes us to cry out. Now the enemy can triangulate our position and try to defeat us. That's why it's important for us not to be anxious. Amen? Huh? 1 Peter 5:7 simply says, casting all your cares upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Amen? Huh? So he cares for us, and we know he cares for us. So I'm not going to be anxious or nothing. I know that God got my back. Holy Spirit is going to intercede for me. Amen? Romans 8:26-27, amen. He's going to take care of all of that, amen. And then when we get to 28, we know that he's covered all things there too, amen. The process goes on as we go down to 30, amen, and see what God is saying, amen. So be anxious in nothing but in everything by prayer. And this is where it gets into. You can't get rid of anxiety unless you can hear from God. And you can't hear from God unless you are praying or speaking to him. Yesterday, I was sharing with them that there's prayer and supplication. What is the difference between the two? Prayer is simply a request made to God. It is validated and empowered by the name of Jesus. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Why? Because it will bring glory to the Father. Amen. We need to know that. Amen. So that as we're praying, Lord, do this in the name of Jesus, that in the name of Jesus is the stamp or the seal. It is the thing that causes the prayer to be valid in God's ears. But the word supplication means that there are certain things that you're going to have to petition God for. Petitioning God is not your laundry list or your Christmas list or your birthday gift list. It's not that. Petitioning God is asking God concerning something. Peradventure, he will give you the answer which way to go. Amen? Huh? Even at that, make sure while you're asking and you're petitioning God that you are open to what God has to say. We see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is saying, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Huh? But then he turns around in the same breath and say, nevertheless, not my will. Because what he was doing was supplication. He was petitioning the Father for something. Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. In other words, I know what your assignment is, and this is going to be difficult. Is there another way that we can do this? Can we go about this in a different light? Can we go about this in a different way? And you know what? Even at that, regardless of how tough it's going to be, I know that you are going to sustain me, and I'm going to go through it regardless. So nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. When God begins to speak to us and he begins to give us direction, he begins to show us which way we need to go, then we need to get a thanksgiving in our hearts and in our minds. Amen. But see, this is the thing. While we're praying and while we're in supplication, because some of this stuff is going to be difficult, we have to watch out for the tempter. Amen. We have to watch out for the enemy. Amen. Let's go over here to Genesis, the third chapter. Thank God for the word. Amen. I pray y'all getting something tonight on this. It's ministering to me. Amen. So it says, just reading the first verse, we already see a problem. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. And sometimes we have people around us who are just smart in their own mind. They're too wise for their own good. Wait a minute. Let me say it like this. They're too wise for God. Amen. And when you begin to speak to them because they have been around you enough, they have demonstrated their wealth of knowledge, sometimes we begin to trust in them instead of simply going with what God said. Listen, when God speaks to you, it doesn't always have to make sense to you because God knows the end at the beginning. And sometimes what he says sounds like foolishness at the very beginning, but when you get on the other side and look back, you see the wisdom of God was greater than your carnal or your limited mind could ever have thought through. So here's the serpent then. The serpent is more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, and this is why you have to be very careful who gives you counsel, who's speaking into your ear, who's giving you insight, spiritual insight. Some people we look at, they seem so holy, they seem so right, but after all is said and done, if you aren't sensitive to the Spirit of God, you'll walk into a trap that was set up by the enemy to ensnare you, amen? I hope y'all hear what I'm saying, amen? God called us to freedom, not bondage, amen? And the bondage that we have is the life we live for Christ. We have died to ourselves, Colossians, amen? And the life that we now live, we live is in Christ. And when he shall appear, he shall bring our life with us because our focus is with them. We'll see what we're living for, amen? Because we'll see Christ, amen? Huh? So here he goes. He said, and the woman said, he said to the woman, has God indeed said? And I can stop right there. Because when we get to the place where somebody begins to challenge what God said with the intention to move you away from God, move you away from the things of God, then we see somebody who's working as the serpent work here. You see that? Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? In other words, they know what God said, but they shift the words around. Amen? Huh? There was something I was sharing with Prophetess a little bit ago, and I said, you know, God called you to be a spiritual mother in Zion. The training and the talents and everything, the matriculation you have gone through has been to position you as one who understands what mothering is. So when you start to deal with people, regardless of age, you understand how to nurture and how to pull them in. How then is it that you're looking for somebody to mother you when you should be mothering others? And God began to deal with her. And what happened is as she began to speak concerning that and try to validate it, the Holy Spirit convicted her. See, we have to learn how to do what God called us to do. And sometimes it pushes you beyond your comfort zone. some things that we have been desiring, some validations we've been waiting on the inside of ourselves, God has already healed us. And if we allow the healing, then we can go on and make sure no one else is victimized by the things that have injured us. Things we have been hurt by, amen? It'll cause us to come into a place where we can be used by God as a vessel he pours into to heal others, amen? In other words, there's some things that God will put inside of you that will, other people will come and they will get from you. A mother cannot give milk she don't have, huh? And the baby cannot receive unless he is putting a demand on the mother to produce the milk. So you've been asking the question, why haven't I moved into that position? It's because you have not allowed the demand upon your anointing. So as I begin to say that, she began to move into those positions and allow the Holy Spirit, and we begin to see then that the motherly wisdom and those things that he's placed inside of her begin to come forth. Some of you right now are trying to change the word, has not God indeed said, to something that would be more fitting to what you feel. Because in ourselves, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to heal us. Insecurities will cause your faith to diminish and to die. And the enemy knows what your insecurities are. Don't think for 1 minute that the angels are the only scribes taking account of your actions and your likes and dislikes. Huh? Satan knows exactly those of us who are called. You see that? Listen, let's go to Job right quick. Brother Job is being set up for a come up. But what's happening is at the very beginning, when the sons of God are coming together, Satan came in the midst. And God asked him, where you been? He said, going to and fro throughout the earth. Huh? And when he began to say, have you considered my servant Job? Satan didn't have a second of, well, who is that? He said, well, look, you don't put a hedge around him. In other words, the devil knows who God has called and who God's hand is upon. He's been studying you. He's been studying your armor to see where your chink is. He's been looking for every crease. He's been looking for every place where he can get in so he can come in and destroy you. Huh? So when you get up and you say, well, Lord, don't nobody know this. The devil knows. He's been studying you to destroy you. So when God gives you a commandment or he places a demand upon you, he already knows that the enemy has studied you too. See, We look at this from one perception and or one perspective, and we have to understand that the enemy has been studying all of us. He knows exactly how he's coming after us. Notice the first thing that Satan went after, he went after his family and everything he had. Some of you, the devil has come after your family and everything you've had. You've gone through some hardships and you've gone through some other things in your life that would have made other people shut down and just take one. Amen. They would have drank. They would have taken the pills. They would have found, we would have found them with a note. Amen. And yet and still God sustained you. He kept your mind because the plan of God was greater than those things that you have lost. You have to understand that at the very end of Job, he got a come up that was greater than what he lost. That's not saying that he didn't miss his children. That's not saying that he didn't miss what he had before. But God knows how to pacify or to satisfy his children. When we look at all of this, we see how God is bringing this full circle. It is then, as we go back to our original text, Philippians 4 and 6, that when we are anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, that God knows what the end result is. And as we're praying to him, sometimes he takes us down paths that we would not walk down ourselves. I shared it before. If I would have known what it was taking to become who God called me to be, I would have still been running. Amen. But God got me to a place where I couldn't run no more. I couldn't lie to myself no more. I couldn't cry to myself no more. I had to simply say, Lord, help me. And at that moment, then he began to ask me for a yes. As I gave him that yes, he began to deal with other aspects of my life, and things began to come into alignment and focus. Amen. I learned that in everything by prayer and supplication that I can go to God and ask him. And as I give him the thank you that he's looking for, he'll give me a release into my life that satisfies the need. I share all the time that my father would let me put anything on a counter. We would go to the store as a child. He would let me put anything up on a counter. I would put Fago Pops and all kind of candy and one of those Twinkies up on the counter. And he would let me put them up there. And he would go in his pocket looking at me, shaking his head with a smile on his face. He would pay for it. But I couldn't take not one of those items off the counter before I told him thank you. And that's the same thing we have here. God said, listen, I've already taken care of it. I've already provided for you. The provisions there, the resources are there. I've already given you favor and kingdom connection in all the right places. But because you haven't given me thanksgiving, you were not grateful. You did not thank me. I have not released them into your hand. See, the maturity part of this causes us to grow up into the things of God. So when we begin to get it, we don't run off thinking that that was easy. We know that God did this, and now we're careful with what he's given us. We are good stewards over the resources. We're good stewards over the manpower. We're good stewards over the things that he released in our hands. That thank you right there lets him know that we're not taking it for granted that you did this for me. We will be grateful. We will praise. We will thank you. We will worship. We will magnify your name. We will go forward in these things, and we will love on you, and we'll continue to move towards our provision and towards our destiny. Those provisions you set for us, each step is provided for. Amen? Huh? We'll move towards them, but we're going to thank you along the way. Amen? Look what it says here. Let your request be made known to God. And it's interesting here because God already knows what we need before we have the capacity to ask for him. He already knows what's going to be there, and he's already positioned it just out of your reach, waiting for your request and your thank you so he can release it into your possession. See, this is something that the devil don't want you to know. That's why you're looking for it, and it seems right outside of your reach. And if you don't get down to prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, then you'll never receive. Huh? You'll have anxiety there waiting on it, seeing it but never manifest. Huh? How do I get it to manifest? Request. Thanksgiving. There you go. Now, what happens while I'm waiting? Sometimes we're going through some stuff as we finish this out right here. It says in the 7th verse, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Why is that scripture there? Huh? Why those words? Because sometimes when you're going through some things, you have questions, your emotions are tied up in it, you're looking at things, huh? Huh? Your family is involved with it. The bill collectors are calling. People are knocking on the door. People are driving past the house. Every time you turn around, you see eyes cut your way. You hear words being said this way or that way. You got people who are just trying to find a way to make your day a little bit harder. Huh? So you have to understand that while you're walking out the design and the plan of God, the enemy is going to be doing his job, but your job. Simply, after you have asked God, after you have petitioned him, after you have made your request known to him, is to simply get a thanksgiving in your heart and your mind and begin to go into worship. Worship him. Amen. Love on him. And as you're doing so, the peace of God, huh? What is that peace? That peace of God is the thing that comes to you that causes everything to settle down. Amen. Huh? Look what it does. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. That means that before you can get the peace of God, thanksgiving has to be its companion. You see that? As you're thanking God, peace comes upon you. Amen. You see that? Huh? He calls you to actually understand that while you're in Christ, some things will settle down because of your positioning in him. You see that? John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Huh? Not as the world gives peace. Amen? And that's why we get into this next part we're about to get into. Huh? Not as the world gives peace do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because the world is looking for something where its faith doesn't have to work. Huh? Doesn't have to deal with it. I can just go ahead and just do what I'm going to do. Give me all the answers, and then I'll believe, and we'll go on down the road. But if you can't give me all the answers, I'm going to stay here and be skeptical. Okay, you stay there and be skeptical. Never develop your faith, and then you'll have a hard time fulfilling the assignments that God called you to because they require faith. Faith, you're given a seed, but it has to be developed into the harvest. Amen? You don't try your faith. You don't work your faith out. Your faith will remain weak. Huh? A seed that is not put into the ground can never produce a harvest. Amen. That's why it says the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart, your emotions, and your mind, your intellect. Huh? Through Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. Faith. See, we got to get this together. We have to have this together. We have to focus on this. This has to be our mantra, if you will. Huh? This has to be our the thing that we run with, the thing that we sound off when the enemy is coming in. We have to remind him of who we are, whose we are, what he's called us to. We have to do that. And we have to live this life. Amen. Thank God for the scripture tonight. Amen. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Write it down. Place it before him. Huh? You see that? And as you place it before him, recite those things. And then, huh? With thanksgiving, you see that? You can't just ask him. You got to thank him. Huh? Let your request be made known to God. And the result will be the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, your emotions, and your mind, your intellect through Christ Jesus. When people come in trying to tell you, I don't know how that's going to work, you'll say, I know God's going to work it out. When people come in and try to tell you who said what and who did what and how crazy they think this plan is and you don't know what you're doing, your heart will be guarded through Christ Jesus. He knows how to keep us safe. Amen. And he knows how to bear us up and he knows how to sustain us. Amen. Amen. Prophetess, if you will, go ahead and close out this broadcast for us, if you will.
Amen. Come on, let's bow our heads. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, God, we bless you. We thank you right now for this word. God, we thank you that you are already turning our footsteps. We thank you, God, that you're already changing our direction. God, we thank you right now that you're downloading,
yes,
Father, in Jesus' name, our assignments, God, our new assignments, our fresh next move that we're supposed to be doing in you, in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we ask that as this word begins to go in our hearts, Father, sear it in our minds, sear it in our spirits, God. Help us to walk it out, walk our assignments out, giving your name all praise, giving your name all glory, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, yeah. Those who are not saved, please repeat these words. Father, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for all my sins. Wash me in your blood. Come into my heart. Make your abode there. I want to live for you and serve you. I thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you. Listen, we're praying and we're asking you again. Go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll see a donate button. There's some things that we need to have you partner with us on, amen. Different things that are going on with our sons and daughters around the world. Our ability to help them
comes from your generosity. I tell you, there are needs that have to be met, and they're looking for us to help them to meet it. The Bible says something that's very strong, and just a couple of scriptures I want you to see, because it is important for us to know what the Word says concerning our gifts. Amen. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 19:17. Amen. In the Amplified says, "He who has pity on the poor, lends to the Lord, and that which he has given, he will repay." That means that regardless of what you give, God will make sure that you receive it back. See, when you lend to God, God is going to take care of you. I don't know of anyone who has surety greater than God. Amen. Huh? And then there's Proverbs 28:27. Amen. In the Message Bible says, "Be generous to the poor. You'll never go hungry." But shut your eyes to their needs and run a gauntlet of curses. Amen. In other words, when you are generous to the poor, we're not talking about, well, they should be able to do something on their own. Why they need my money? Well, they need your money because they have no other resources. Amen. And we need your help because this is the way that God has given us to be a blessing to those in Pakistan, those in Kenya, Uganda, those in Nigeria, and we need your help. So we pray that you go there and you partner with us and become a vision partner and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Listen, I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this has been the Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. We want you to know that we love you and it's God's will for you to live the Kingdom Lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. And we're looking forward to ministering and fellowshipping with you again.